This is super loud, isn't it? Turn me down. No, okay. Okay, it's not too loud. I am so honestly super excited this morning. This has been just an amazing experience putting together this message and just seeing all the amazing ways that God has like put these dribs and drabs of pieces together that like there's no other reason why I'm up here this morning sharing this message. So I'm really excited. It's been a battle getting here, like it always is every time I speak, but you know, I think there's a reason for that. So I just can't wait to share all those different things with you this morning. The first thing that was really interesting, a couple months back, you guys might remember, well, no, some of you would know, Erica Garthwaite had sent an email out asking a bunch of us to write part of the Galatians devotional that was going to come out. And so there was like a little sign-up sheet where you could sign up for whatever passage you wanted to do your devotional on. Of course, I waited till like the last minute, but that's okay. Everybody took the ones that weren't about circumcision. So I went ahead and signed up for Galatians 5. I did my devotional and, you know, gave it to her several months ago. So a couple weeks ago, Chad connected with me, and I tried to ignore his email, but then he finally said, did you ever get my email about speaking? And I was like, would you believe me if I said no? No, he didn't. But and he asked me if I would speak this morning on Galatians 5. And I just assumed that it was because he had seen that I had written the devotional or whatever. So I emailed him, and I said, by the way, you know, you asked me because I wrote this devotional, right? And he's like, nope, I had no idea. Doesn't that kind of sound like Chad? So there were literally 18 different passages and verses that I could have signed up for, and yet I signed up for this one, and I had already prayed over it, studied it, all of that. So that's not by chance, not by chance at all. And there's such meat in this passage. There's so much that you can touch on. It's really pretty incredible. And obviously, we can't spend hours and hours. Well, we can if you really want to, but I was going to have lunch in a little bit. But and I'm just really believing that God has something important for each of you this morning. And I don't know which part of the passage that's going to come out of, but I'm really excited to share that with you. So we're going to read the first part of Galatians chapter 5 together, but first we need to go back to the end of chapter 4. It drives me crazy when people like focus on a little verse and they don't look at the context of it. So before we can go into chapter 5, because believe it or not, the original Bible didn't have those little subtitles of, you know, Christ the Liberator or whatever at chapter 5. So who knows where the, you know, partition was supposed to be. But when Paul was writing this, if we go back to chapter 4 and get the context there, he's talking about Hagar and Sarah. And I think Chad and Michelle talked about this passage last week, where God had given Abraham the promise that his offspring would number the stars in the sky. And Abraham's like, yeah, that sounds great. And Sarah, and, you know, they're waiting and waiting and waiting. She doesn't have a baby. She's like old. She's gray. She's got her crown of splendor and wisdom. But then over time, they start to get a little like, hey, what's going on? We're pretty old. We can't have kids anymore, maybe. Who knows? So they decide, okay, let's just take things in our own hands. You know, go ahead and get Hagar pregnant, and then that'll be a baby. And then, you know, there's your offspring. So they do that, but God's upset because he said he had promised to give Abraham a child, and yet Abraham lost faith in that. So in the last part of Galatians chapter 4, Paul's reminding the Galatians that we, in verse 31, he says, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. And he's talking about that promise that was made and that we as the children of God are the free people, the children of the free woman. And this is really a metaphor for our lives as Christians that God is calling us to live in freedom, not in slavery. So then we go into chapter 5. So we're going to read verse 1 together. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So Christ has set us free to live a free life. And when I first was getting ready for my devotional, I was like, this is weird. He's free and we're free and duh, obviously. I even think I said duh in my devotional, so I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but I did. But Chad and Michelle had talked last week about the old law that was used prior to Christ's coming. And in Galatians 3:19 that they were talking about it, it talks about how the law was given to them to keep a sinful people in the way of salvation until Christ came. But once Christ came, that was kind of null and void because his death and resurrection gave us freedom and we were no longer bound by the laws and the rituals that they had back then. So we're going to come back and camp on that a little more, but we can't stop there. We got to look at the rest of it. So the next portion of chapter 5 talks a little bit more about the old law stuff. And it says, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. So basically he's saying, if you do this one thing that's a ritual, then you got to follow it all. But that's not what I have for you. But anyway, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. Grace, the whole point of everything. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And so in this section, Paul's telling the Galatians, like, come on, guys, they're still focused on these ceremonies and rituals and all these things. And he's like, that's not the point anymore. Christ came and died on the cross and made that sacrifice for us, so we're no longer bound by those. And essentially, he was saying that if you continue to follow these rituals and these ceremonies and do this so that you can be free and do all this stuff, then you're moving away from the doctrine of grace. The whole point of why Christ came was to give us grace and to free us from all of that stuff that we had to do and all of our sins and all of that. And he was so frustrated with those people because they kept going back to that. And that's when he says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So to be sure, it was a big change for them because they'd been focusing on these ceremonies and rituals for like ever until Christ came. But still, God's grace is our redemption. That's the whole point. That was the big picture. And so Paul's talking to them about, come on, why don't you grasp this? So then he goes on in verse 7 to talk about the people within their church or within whatever it was that were drawing them away from this doctrine of grace, the message of grace. And it goes on verse 7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who's throwing you into the confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Yikes. But Paul's warning the Galatians, starting in verse 7, about these false teachings that they're hearing and receiving. And verse 9 says, a little yeast works through a whole batch of dough. Now, I am no Michelle Wenger baker, who's amazing. You can ask my small group and my kids about my failed attempt at cornbread. I was really trying. But anyway, but even I know that it only takes a tiny pinch. I think it's a pinch. I don't know. It only takes a little bit of yeast to work through the whole dough and make it rise. And that's what Paul was saying. He's warning the church that even a tiny bit of untruth or mistruth can penetrate the whole gospel message and really pervert the whole message of what the gospel is. So what does that mean for us as a church in this section? It means that we have a responsibility ourselves to be studying the word, to be listening to God, to be listening to the message. I know that I used to be this way. I try not to be this way anymore, but I came to church to get filled. That's the whole point, right? You come here, you listen to your pastor, you listen to the speaker, the preacher, whatever, you get what you need, and then you go. But really, that's not the point of the church. The point of the church is for us to be connecting with God, to be ministering to others, to be doing all these things, and then to come together and share that with one another. So really, it's our responsibility as believers, each and every one of us, to be studying the word, to be connecting with God, to know the truth, so that when we hear other people speaking it, we can verify that. We can know that that is the truth or that it's not, and we can be aware of that. So even if it's, you know, if we're listening to Pastor Chad, if we're listening to Michelle, if we're listening to Mark Hopkins, if we're listening to Curtis, to me, whatever, we need to make sure that we're listening to God and going to the gospel and going to the word first and foremost, even before the leaders of our church. And I think that's what Paul is telling us as well. And he gets so mad and passionate about what's happening, like, you were doing a great job, what's going on? This is so frustrating, that he actually says to those people who are still preaching the importance of circumcision that they would go the whole way and castrate themselves. So that's going to make our men never want to preach again. I'm good. But so then he goes on in verse 13 then, and he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. We've heard that before, right? If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. And in the Galatians commentary that we've been using a lot throughout this series, I've been studying, David Platt and Tony Merida says, to understand freedom, think about it like this. As believers, we're freed objectively. We know we are. Technically, legally, we're freed from the guilt of sin. But we struggle to be free subjectively, daily, experientially, from the grip of sin. for those of you that know me, my brain can be a little wonky sometimes. I don't even like that word. I don't know why I used it. But that's the one that came to my mind when I try to explain sometimes what happens in here. And maybe yours is a little bit wonky too. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I've learned that it's part of my story and my wonkiness, whatever. But another one of the coincidences of this morning's message has to relate with that. And if you know me even a little bit, you know that I have issues, right? I just think about that song. I have issues, you do too, we all do. But mine often revolve around mental health stuff, anxiety, OCD, all the really fun stuff like that. And I'm not embarrassed about it too much anymore because I know it makes me who I am and it's part of my story and it's part of my journey. But I went to youth group back in high school. That's for like youth group, I mean middle school and high school. Some of you might have done part of that. And at some point during that time, we chose, I don't know if it was a retreat or a comp, something, but we were supposed to choose a life verse. And the term sounds kind of cliche, a life verse. This is, you know, whatever. But really, it's similar to what we've been doing with the Rhythm of Life series, where we're creating a focus and a mission for our life. So we were supposed to choose a verse that was essentially, you know, a focus mission for our life. So the life verse I chose was, ta-da, Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, so do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, rather serve one another in love, right? A great verse. How can you go wrong? The only problem is that over the years, literally, my wonky brain kind of just turned this all around and made it a mess. And it distorted this mission into being one that actually gave me a lot of anxiety and contributed to my insecurity. Obsessing over serving others and sacrificing myself actually became my yoke of slavery, which seems kind of weird to think about. But it created these distorted expectations of myself that if I wasn't serving others, if I wasn't doing everything for everybody else, that I wasn't good enough and that I wasn't doing what God had called me to. That I wasn't meeting God's expectations because I sometimes missed out on serving others in love, which there is a piece of that, but then there's also this part that got all messed up. And in trying to serve others only and always, I didn't always do it happily, and I didn't always do it out of love. I did it because I had to. I have to serve one another in love. I have to do it all the time. I can't ever not do that, or I'm being selfish, and I'm not doing what God's called me to. But really, I was picking up the burden of slavery in that verse, even though it talks about freedom. And I was enslaving myself to unrealistic expectations of who I could be and what I could do for others. And I just allowed Satan to distort this verse about freedom to become my chains, really. But you know what? This morning, it's really crazy, because I've even been talking through this stuff in counseling. I love counseling. I think everybody should do it all the time. Hopefully, I can finish at some point. But I actually literally have had times where I've talked with my counselor through this passage and through how it actually became a source of anxiety for me. But this morning is actually my opportunity to redeem this passage and to claim the freedom that we have that got all messed up in my own brain and in my own life. And so I want you to know that the true power of the scripture is in the freedom. We desire to serve others in love because we're free to do so, not because we have to, but because he's given us freedom and we're free to do that. Like Michelle mentioned last week, our mission at MCC is to love because Christ first loved us. That's from 1 John 4:19. And we serve and we love because we're compelled by the love of God. We know, because of grace, we don't have to do all these things perfectly, but we are just so overcome by the love of Christ and what he's done for us that we're compelled to serve others and to love others. He doesn't even demand it in order for us to be redeemed because we already are. We're already redeemed. But if we truly love and grasp the nature of God and who he is, we just want to. It just overflows out of us, out of the love that we have for him. And Michelle talked last week. She really prepped this really well. Wait, where are you? I don't know. Hey, way to go. But she talked about the word redemption, which I had never known, whatever, before. But in Paul's day and in Galatians, the word redemption was actually paying the price for a slave to simply free them, which is really a crazy concept. You're paying all this money to purchase a slave only to let them free. And, you could buy the slave and you could keep the slave. That certainly was your prerogative back in those days, you know. But that's not what Christ did. He bought us. He paid the price for us. He died on the cross. God gave his only son just so that he could set us free to live outside the bounds of those rituals and ceremonies and laws. So we are redeemed. We are free because of grace. And there's a story that I actually read a couple different places. And it, the places that I read said, they don't know if it's true or if somebody just told it. But I want to read this to you because it's really amazing. So there's a story that's been told from Civil War days before America's slaves were freed about a northerner who went to a slave auction and purchased a young slave girl. As they walked away from the auction, the man turned to the girl and told her, "You're free." With amazement, she responded, "You mean I'm free to do whatever I want?" "Yes," he said. "And to say whatever I want to say?" "Yes, anything." "And to be wherever I want to be?" "Yep." "And even go wherever I want to go?" "Yes," he answered with a smile. "You're free to go wherever you'd like." She looked at him intently and replied, "Then I will go with you." She was so overcome by his redemption that she wanted nothing more than to give herself back to him. And that's what Christ asks us to do. The Exodus of Moses and the Israelites is really a beautiful picture of this whole thing of how Christ delivered you and me, not from the hands of the Egyptians, obviously us, but from our death sentence before Jesus arrived and gave himself. And in John 8:36, Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you really will be free." So it's a lot like Galatians 5:1, where he says, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. It's like, why do they keep having to say this so bluntly? Could they be any more blunt? You're free, so you're free. You're free, and you're free, and you're free. Why don't we get it? And maybe one reason is because we actually forget how awful slavery was for us. And even the Israelites, this drives me crazy, but when they were freed, get this, like 2 seconds later, they start grumbling about being hungry and all this stuff. They're out in the desert. They were freed from their slavery. And then in Exodus 16:3, they said, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food that we wanted, but you've brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Hold up. Are you serious? You were slaves. You were enslaved there. You wanted nothing more than to be freed as slaves in Egypt. And they, like, forget that. And it is very soon after they were free that they start doing that. And if you know you're free, but you aren't truly living that way, maybe it's because you've forgotten how horrible slavery actually is. Platt says, the gospel is not awesome unless you see the awfulness of your previous condition. We need to understand the depth of our slavery without Christ so that we can truly understand the depth of our freedom in him. And I know Michelle mentioned last week about getting saved at a young age, and I sometimes think about that myself because I was saved when I was like 4. And of course, you don't totally grasp it, but you get it. You get the story if you've been raised in a home or where you've been exposed to the love of God, that you want to be a part of it. You don't want to miss out. You want to be a part of it. So anyway, how can I truly understand the depth of my slavery before Christ? When I was 4, like, the depth of my sin was like refusing to eat my broccoli or knocking over my sister's Barbie house, which I probably did a million times. But the truth is, we may or may not have experienced a life of deep sin and emptiness and brokenness before we met Christ, but we do need to grasp the power of sin without him, if we didn't have him. In that commentary again on Galatians, Platt and Merida make references to slavery in the United States and what it was like for the slaves who later became free. Another little interesting tidbit about this morning's message is I like to read, but I had taken a big break from reading for a while, and I just started picking up a couple of new books or whatever. And so I was reading a fiction novel, and I started reading a book called The Underground Railroad. I don't normally read historical fiction, but I had heard that this was a good book, and so I started reading it. And this book is about a slave who runs away and seeks freedom from slavery through the Underground Railroad. I'm not necessarily promoting the book, but I'm just telling you how it relates to that I was randomly reading this fictional book. And it's so much of what we're talking about this morning. So in the book, the slave escapes, right? And she starts her journey towards freedom. But along the way, even though she's free, she's always running from the slave catchers. And she's always running from people who, in those days, could literally just pick up any African-American person and say, help, you're a slave, you got it. It's crazy to think about, like, literally that's the foundation of our country. But even though she's free, because she gets out and she goes to this state and she goes through the Underground Railroad and she goes to that state, she's never really free because she's always hiding. She's always running. She even has to hide in this attic, this little tiny attic. So this guy gets her from the Underground Railroad and she goes into his house, and then she can't go anywhere for months and months and months. She can't even move. She can come out into the attic a little bit, but for months she's living like that. So technically she's free, she's not a slave anymore, but yet she's stuck and she's bound in this little tiny area. And she always fears being recaptured by the slave catchers. Even though she was technically free from the binds of slavery, she's still scared and acting like a slave all the time. And sometimes this is how we are as Christians, right? We know we're free in order to be free, but we struggle with being enslaved to whatever it is. Maybe it's just not grasping the power of God and the power of our freedom. Tim Keller says, technically and objectively, you're not a slave. You're not a slave. But God has freed you from things to which you are still enslaved. Is that you? Let me say that again. God has freed you. He's already freed you from things to which you continue to be enslaved. He says you have to work the gospel down deep in order to run in the freedom that is yours. And that really got me, because that's true. We can get it and not really get it, and we got to work it down deep. So for me, surprise, that thing is anxiety, but it's also the belief that I'm just not good enough. And it's something that I've learned. I don't give myself enough grace. I give everybody else grace, except my family. Sometimes I'm not that good at that. But I give everybody else grace, but not myself. I've come a really long way in my journey towards healing and towards freedom from that. But I know that I have a tendency to become re-enslaved over and over and over again. I know I have that tendency. And it's just Satan's attempts at distorting God's message. Even this morning, even last night, Satan just gets in there and he tries to tell me that this message is not important. This is not what people want to hear. You think you heard from God, but it wasn't him. Nobody's going to listen. That's slavery. That's really slavery. So what is it for you? Maybe for you it's something simple, like the tendency to become enslaved in gossip. It's so hard, especially at work with all the girls. But, you know, maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's just overeating. You just find yourself getting back into that over and over again. But maybe it's something deeper. Maybe it's something like just not believing that you're truly freed, not recognizing the true power of God and what he's done for you. Maybe it's not getting the gospel down deep, that you don't really feel like you belong in God's family. Maybe you get re-enslaved to loneliness or to fear or patting yourself on the back for your accomplishments. It could be anything. It could be so many things. And though the feeling of freedom isn't always a once-and-done thing, our freedom in Christ is. It's done. It's gone. We're already free in Christ, and our sins are gone. And they're not just there to reveal themselves, to come up again later. No, they're gone. They're totally gone. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Why would we want to pick up that old life? Why would we want to go back to those things that we were enslaved to? But sometimes working the gospel down deep, really working it down deep, means doing it over and over and over again. Whenever those chains start working their way back around yourself again, and I know that happens to me all the time, and maybe it does to you too. And it might mean that you need the help of others. That is a huge blessing to me, to have a community of people. That's who we are here at MCC, right? We do that all the time, to be able to reach out and just say, I am getting bound up and I need help. I need help, and I need you to remind me of my freedom and my redemption and my deliverance. And that's okay if you need that. That's what we're here for as a church, right? Last night, we had an MCC leaders meeting, and I had worked all day. It was a stressful day. I knew I was speaking this morning. I left work, and I was like, just, I really did feel like I was bound up in chains. I really did. That's what I felt like in this. And I don't know if you've ever experienced like anxiety or stuff or brain stuff. I don't know what it is. It's me, whatever it is that I have. I just felt like this. I really did. I felt like this. And I loved just worshiping last night and letting God, you know, try to release me of those. But then on the way home, I heard the song Warrior by Hannah Kerr. I don't know if you've ever heard it before. But I just want to read the lyrics for you because it was so good. So she said, because in the dark there is a light. Your truth, it keeps on burning. Fight, bright, hold on, I did something wrong. Oh, well. Makes me brave to fight the fight. Shout the battle cry. You'll never stop me. I'm a warrior. When I fall down, I get stronger. Faith is my shield. Your love is the armor. Every scar on my skin is a beautiful reminder of a moment when I didn't give in and I walked through fire. And I love that Michelle was singing that song about singing through the night. And as we sing and we praise, the sun starts to rise. And that doesn't mean we sing once the sun has risen. That means we sing in the night. And when we're feeling bound up and when we're feeling those chains and we're being re-enslaved, just sing. Just sing of his freedom. Sing of his grace. Sing of his redemption. In Isaiah 61, God resolves to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. We're ready for the battle. We're ready. We're ready to release the chains that Christ has already broken. We just need to give them up. This morning, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. This morning, I want to give you the opportunity to make this real for you as an individual. God's really put some things on my heart this morning, and I really feel like there are some people this morning that needed to hear this message powerfully and in your own way. I don't know what that is for you. But Michelle and the team are going to spend some time playing for us this morning. And during that time, I just want to invite you to ask God this morning to show you if there are specific areas where you're prone to find yourself being bound up in chains. If you're a believer, you know that you're free in Christ. You know that. But to work the gospel down deep, we need to do that. And you know what? If you're not a believer, today is an awesome day to do that and to get truly freed from the chains of slavery. But it's not our default to go into that freedom mode. And many of us battle that often and maybe even every single day. If something's weighing heavy on your heart this morning or God has shown you something, I want to invite you to come to the cross. I want to invite you, there are post-it notes and pens there. I want to invite you to write down that thing that God has been pointing out to you this morning. If you're feeling that little thing, you know, where like it's just sticking there, you know it. I want to invite you to come to the cross, to write that thing down, and just leave it at the foot of the cross. He's already released you from it. You're already free. So give it to him. Let it go. And then at the bottom of the cross, there's a basket there full of broken chain links, which is a whole other story about the guy at Home Depot, so feel free to ask me because it's pretty cool too. But there's a basket of broken chain links, and I want to invite you to take that as a symbol of your freedom in Christ, that you're freed from those chains. You might need to remind yourself it might not be a once-and-done thing, but it was a once-and-done thing when Christ died on the cross for you. So it's already gone. You're already freed. But I want to invite you to make that real for you this morning if that's something that God wants you to do. I want you to stake a claim. Stake a claim by putting your stuff at the foot of the cross and taking that chain. Stake a claim that we're not going to let Satan try to re-enslave us again. We might have to do it again and again, but stake your claim. We have the power and authority in Christ to do that, to stake our claim of freedom. There's also going to be the opportunity this morning to take communion once again. You don't have to, but the opportunity is there if you want to, if you need to. Because communion is really the essence of our freedom. It represents Christ's death and resurrection. And his death and his resurrection are really our underground railroad to freedom, right? We're freed because of that. So maybe you need to take communion first. Maybe you need to remind yourself of Christ's death and resurrection, of our freedom in Christ. And then you need to come over to the cross and lay it down. Lay it down and take your symbol of freedom. Or maybe you need to come to the cross and you need to lay it down first. and then enjoy a symbol of the reminder of his freedom that replaces that slavery that we have, or that we tend to have. So when Chad's done serving communion, he'll be available to pray. I would love to pray for you. If there's something that God's putting on your heart, I just really feel passionate because this has happened to me in my own life, and I've experienced freedom. And I want that for you this morning. And also, the members of the prayer team will be here if you want somebody to pray over you. Hold on. So just take your time. Take your time. Listen to the things that Michelle is going to be singing. Listen to the words that God has for you this morning, because I think he's speaking to some of you. So take your time. And when you're ready, if you want to participate in one, in the other, in neither, in both, I just pray that you would really listen to God and receive his freedom this morning, his freedom from chains. And I'll go first, so I break the whatever. Nobody's looking at you. Maybe they are. Who cares? Who cares if they're looking at you? This is for you this morning, and this is your time to receive what God's message is specifically for you this morning. So let's pray together. Lord God, I just thank you, God, so much for the freedom that we have in you. God, you freed us. The very moment that you gave up your spirit and died on the cross, we were freed. Just like that, we were freed. And if we receive that from you, if we receive the grace and the freedom from our slavery and our chains, that's all we have to do, God, is just receive your grace. You love us. You don't need anything from us. And God, whatever that chain is for us, whatever that is that's just weighing heavy on our hearts this morning, that thing that just keeps coming back and back, or maybe that thing that comes and then it goes away and then it comes. God, may our hearts be open to listening to you and to hearing that thing from you this morning. And then may we be courageous. May we be warriors, God. I pray that you would give us strength, especially to those people that are sitting here. Yeah, there's something, but I really don't want to get up and walk to the cross. I really don't want to get prayed over. I really don't want to. God, give us strength that we are warriors and we're ready for the battle. And we are staking our claim this morning that Satan is not going to bind us up in chains anymore. We are so thankful for the gift of freedom. And we receive that this morning, and we want to work the gospel down deep. Put in the work we need to be able to really, truly experience the freedom that we have in Christ. We thank you and we love you, Lord. Amen. So as Michelle prays, I just want to invite you to come and participate or not. Just sit and listen, whatever that is for you this morning.